Amen. Let's give Jesus a great big hand clap of praise. The first book of Samuel, the 16th chapter. I have a word from God. And I'm going to preach it to the best of my ability. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send you to the house of Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? He said, peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Amnadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. Everyone say, sit down. We will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And I want to preach to you tonight out of the verse where, verse 11, where Samuel says, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And my title's very simple. It is, here I stay standing. Here I stay standing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessings over the remainder of tonight's service. Jesus, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for allowing us to congregate here together and be a part of your people. We give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' wonderful name. Everyone said a healthy amen. Let's give Jesus a great big hand clap of praise. Shake your neighbor's hand. Give them a great big God bless you. You may be seated. For a very long time, the people of God operated in a very nomadic fashion. They were probably what would be closest to a Bedouin type of people. They were tribal. They operated in small clusters and would only assemble themselves really when they came under great turmoil or trouble. And this is the period in the Bible known as the time of Judges. It was during this time that Israel operated and governed themselves in what is known as a theocracy. A theocracy, in its most simplest terms, is when God is the head of the nation. And from the very onset, way before the Declaration of Independence, God actually created a government in which there was no centralized form of power. The powers were distributed. And whoever God raised up could tell Israel what to do. Man, woman, big tribe, little tribe. It didn't matter. If God chose you, you were it. And as time developed, the Israelites begin to abhor this way of life. Because slowly, civilizations were actually coming out of this. Other civilizations operated under theocracies as well, not quite like Israelite culture, but they were beginning to assemble themselves and govern themselves differently. And the Israelites did not like this. This happened during the ministry of the prophet Samuel. And this is neither here nor there. But Samuel is one of the most unique biblical figures in your Old Testament because he is actually a hybrid of a judge and a prophet. In fact, when the Bible refers to Samuel early on, it calls him a seer. And Samuel at the time had oversight over Israel. He was the oracle of the Lord. And the people of God came to Samuel and they said, We want a king like all other people. Let me tell you something. There is nothing wrong with being different. It takes no guts to be like everybody else. And let me tell you something else. There is nobody better to serve than God. When you serve man, you are in big trouble. Because man needs food, man needs money, man needs all kinds of stuff. And God even warned the Israelites, if I stop being your king, the next guy is going to want your kids. He's going to want your sons for his army, his daughters as his concubines, your vineyards for his food. I'm telling you right now, when you serve God, you're going to get a good deal. And this is not even part of my message. See, God don't need your money. And the scripture says that when you do not tithe, it says you are a thief and a robber. We do not pay tithes. We do not even give tithes. We bring tithes. And we give back to God what is already his. But on a better point, the question is, what am I stealing from God if he don't need money? I'll tell you what you are stealing from God. You are taking away from God the opportunity to bless you because God will not bless thieves, and God loves you so much that he considers it an act of thievery when you take the opportunity away from him to be able to bless you, because God's not going to bless somebody who don't tithe. And you can lock up on me if you want to, but it's the gospel truth. And so God said, I'll give you a king. You want a king? I'll give you one. But it'll be my choosing. And so he chose a man by the name of Saul. And Saul, for all he was worth, couldn't get it right. He just always wanted to modify God's plan.
He always wanted to put his own twist and his own flavor and his own ingenuity in on it. And God had nothing to do with it. And so eventually God rejects Saul via the prophet Samuel. He rejects him. And several months after that initial rejection is where we find ourselves tonight in our text. Samuel shows up to a man named Jesse's house because God is now in search of a king. Or God is now going to make concrete who he has chosen as a king. Saul's rejection, which at one time was now just in word, has now actualized and crystallized. And it has become a reality. And so God sends Samuel over to Jesse's house. And this is actually a very beautiful, beautiful story in the Bible. Samuel shows up to Jesse's house and he says, "Jesse, God has sent me here to anoint a king." And he said, "Where are all your sons?" And Jesse brings his sons into the room and he shows them Eliab. And he says, "Here is my son Eliab." Jesse and everyone else thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed, because he looked just like Saul. He was tall. He had it going on. He was strong. And God said, he didn't even call him a person. He said, "I have not chosen this." And everybody, including Samuel, could not detach themselves from what was in front of them. They thought, surely God will do what he did last time. He picked, but see, they didn't understand. God never did choose Saul because he was tall. In fact, God told Saul, "When you were little in your own eyes." God don't choose tall people. And all the short people say amen. God is looking for somebody who does not think too highly of themselves. And if there's anything you ought to ever pray in your walk with God, is, "God, give me a humility of mind. Don't ever let me think more of myself than I should." I'm telling you right now, humility does not mean that you don't think of yourself. It means that you just think that God is all that and that you would be nothing without him. That is true humility. And you've got to be humble, people. You've got to be humble. I've got to be humble. You've got to be humble. We've all got to be humble. And Samuel tells Jesse, "God's not chosen this or his six brothers." He says, "Are these all thy children?" And he said, "Well, there's one more." Which is, what is being implied here is that Jesse did not believe in David. And what is also understood later in text is that, in fact, Jesse probably didn't care for David. David said of himself, we actually misuse the verse a lot to talk about original sin, but David said, "In sin did my mother conceive me." He wasn't attributing the sin to himself. He was attributing to his mama. He said, "In sin did my mother conceive me," which is implying I didn't come out of a good relationship. And so David didn't really think that the redheaded stepkid, that's what Rudy means he was redheaded, was that the redheaded stepkid had a shot at the kingdom. Let me tell you, I don't care who don't believe in you. I don't care what your background is. I don't care if you are a freckled face, ugly little redheaded kid. If the hand of God is on your life. Oh, come on, somebody. You need to get your pedigree don't mean nothing with Jesus. Your stature don't mean nothing with Jesus. I don't care if you're the kid that never gets picked for the basketball game. I'm telling you, if the hand of God is on your life. I don't care if. I'm going going to just put it on pause right there. This is not part of my message, but I'm preaching to somebody right now. I'm telling you, there's nobody that'll ever do you like God. Only God can add purpose and meaning to your life. I'm preaching to some young people here right now, and I really feel that I need to stop, but there are some young people here. You are convinced that the way you look and that the way you are is hindering your life. Hey, you know what? Can I say this? I remember Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. How many people remember Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was, if you don't remember, go Google him. Amen. If you can even spell his name. But I remember Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He said, you know, when I went to school, he said, it was so hard. He said, because I was light-skinned. He said, so I wasn't dark enough to be accepted by all the kids, all my peers. And he said, and I was too light. And then I wasn't dark enough. He said, I could just never get it right. He said, I was totally rejected by everybody. And you know, that happens in all kinds of families. Amen. Sometimes you're the youngest. Sometimes you're the darkest. Sometimes you're the lightest. Sometimes you come from your dad's other marriage, and you don't always get ups. You don't always get treated right. You get socks for Christmas, and you get the leftovers for dinner. And ain't nobody tripping if you don't show up. Nobody cares. Hey, I got news for you. God cares. Hey, I got news for you. God sees you. God loves. Come on, somebody. You gotta bring yourself to Jesus. You will never find meaning in this world. Your family last name can't give you meaning. The color of your skin can't give you meaning. Your education can't give you meaning. God can give you meaning. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you. If you are adopted, you ought to hold your head up high, because God loves you. The hand of God is on your life. If you're a stepchild, God loves you. If you don't know who your parents are, God knows. Here's the powerful thing, and here's where we're going to preach. Samuel says, go fetch the boy. He says, because we will not, everyone say, we will not. We will not sit down until he comes hither. God is on a manhunt, and I will not sit down until God gets what he came for. Now, there's a little bit of a Hebraic culture thing going on here. In the Western world, when you buy a house, you sit down to sign the papers. When you buy a car, you sit down to sign the contracts. But in biblical culture, you always did business deals standing up. And you never sat down until business was done. That's why every time you see Jesus in heaven, he's sitting. Because it is finished. But I came to preach to you tonight that there are several of you, all of you really, God is looking for folks tonight that are willing to stand up until the will of God is done. People that will not sit down until the job gets done. People that will go at it. People that will pray until the soul they've been praying for serves Jesus. People that will pray until the kid they're praying for serves Jesus. People that will pray until the church they attend is filled with sinners. People that will... God's looking for people that refuse to sit down. People that will stand up, stand in the gap, and pray, and pray, and pray. Hey, I'm telling you, every week that I've been here, the Holy Ghost has spoken to me. There is an open door of prayer, an open window of prayer to this church. If there has ever been a time in a season when y'all got to stand in the gap and not sit down until God does what he said he's going to do, it's right now. It's right now. It's right. New life, it's time everybody gets on board. It's time everybody gets in the prayer room. It's time. Come on,
Come on, you got to stand. I'm preaching to some saints. You've been sitting. You've been sitting. It's time you get up and you tell the devil, I ain't done. My kid ain't done. My Bible study ain't done. Come on.
I'll never forget. There was a woman. There was a woman there in California. This woman was illiterate. She could not read. But she didn't let that make her sit down. You know, I am shocked. And I've been there, so I could get with you. But I am shocked at how much we allow our disabilities to hinder God's ability. And do you not know that God loves working through broken vessels? And do you not know that God will work with you dyslexic, illiterate, ADD, ADHD? Amen. Do you not know that God will work with you? Amen. Physical disabilities, emotional disabilities. Do you not know that God gets all kinds of glory out of broken earthen vessels? Vessels with diabetes, vessels with cancer, Do you not know, Amber, that God will send you to Latin America speaking broken Spanish? Amen. Because at that point, all that happens, it was to the glory of God. When you bust it up and God still flows, you know it wasn't you. You know it was God. When you're all busted up and God still moves, it gives testimony to the glory of God. No flesh shall glory. This woman was illiterate. You know what she did? She told the saints at the church, she said, show me where Acts 2:38 is in my Bible. They showed her, she highlighted it. And then she said, show me where Acts 4:12 is in all the Jesus name, baptism and Holy Ghost verses. She said, show me them. And she'd highlight them. And then she'd go to work. She worked in a factory. She'd go to work and she'd put her Bible on her desk like she could read. And you know what she'd do? When she found somebody she witnessed to, she'd open up that Bible. She memorized those verses. You know, those are the kinds of people you and me are going to be standing next to in judgment, whether you like it. Hey, I got news for you. Whether you believe this or not, it does not matter. But I want you to know that when you get to heaven and you get your belly ache on, Jesus is going to say, hold on 1 minute. You in the fifth row, come on down. And you're going to find yourself standing in front of somebody that walked to church when you quit coming just because it was raining. You're going to stand next to somebody that still did outreach, quoted Bible verses when they couldn't even read. You're going to stand next to somebody that was still tithing when they were broke. You're going to stand next to somebody that never missed a beat, even when they were sick. You're going to stand it. I think we all believe that here. Come on, you got to pony up and live for Jesus. You just need to square up, show up to church, do your thing for God. And does not the Bible say the saints shall judge the world? The saints. Hey. One day a young girl came into that. I know this woman. I know these people. This young girl had been looking for God. She had gone to all the charismatic churches. She had gone to all the Catholic churches. Nothing. She had prayed to the idols, danced, sung, dinner, nothing. One day she walked into that factory where she was working, and that little illiterate woman pulled her aside, said, hey, let me talk to you. She said, let me show you. Started quoting stuff like she could read it. She got to the verses on the Holy Ghost. She told her, she said, you need the Holy Ghost. The woman said, what is that? She said, come to my church. I'll show you. So she did. She said, okay. She said, you may not know this. She said, but I've been really looking for a church. She showed up to that service in San Jose, California, Pastor Shoemake. She showed up to that service. She had never felt anything like that. She lifted her hands. That night, she received the Holy Ghost. the story doesn't stop there. She didn't just get the Holy Ghost, she got baptized. When she got home, you know, listen, if you ain't never been baptized in Jesus' name, you just don't know. I can't even explain it to you. I'm telling you right now, if you ain't never been there, you just ain't never been there. There is no words, there is no adjectives, there is no nouns, there is nothing inside English grammar that could ever thoroughly explain to you what it feels like to come out of water. Some of you visitors have to excuse our saints, they have forgotten, but this chubby preacher has never forgotten what it was like the day I came out of water. Bro, I'm telling you, I came up without chain. Do you remember? There ain't no. I feel something right now. Just talking. Hey, whenever you're having a bad day, just remember the day. Whenever you feel like giving up, just remember the day. Just remember that your memory can save you. And see, I'm telling you, you ain't never done it, you don't know. She felt so lit up. She went home. She had a little brother, her youngest brother. He was 16 years old. He was a gangbanger. He was a dope dealer. And he worked at 16 years old, full time, at a liquor store for two of the largest drug dealers in that area. She came home. She told her little brother. She said, look. She said, how do I look? He said, wet. No, I'm telling you. I am telling you the gospel truth. We can laugh and giggle, but that's really what it's like. It'll get on you in such a way to where you're like, look, am I telling the truth, Andrew? It's, look, that's really how it feels. I cannot explain to you. Hey, you know what? I remember when I was a sinner, one of my biggest dreams, one of my biggest wishes was I wish I could just have a new life. I wish I could just do it all over again. And God said, guess what? That's a wish I'll answer. I'll let you be born again. I'll give you a brand new life. I'm telling you. It really is like that. I'm telling you, you'll be tough. If you decide to do it, you'll come into that water talking about, look. Woo. Her brother was in trouble. She decided, I will stand until my brother gets saved. She got to praying for her brother. See, she wasn't all sophisticated. She had not been through a Bible study. She just knew that when God got to moving on her, she would start screaming and talking in tongues. And so that's what she did in her room. She didn't think it was a big deal. It was in the Bible. And so she would go in her room every night and she would pray for her brother. She'd scream his name out. His name's Abram. She said, God save Abram. It got so bad that night after night she would do it. She was relentless. I mean, she would go in a beast mode. She would pray. Her brother would come out and start kicking the door, telling her, shut up. Shut up. But she couldn't shut up, and she wasn't going to sit down. So you know what she did every night? She'd grab a pillow. She'd pour it over. She'd put it over her face, and she would go to war. I mean, she would pray, God, save my brother. Get him out of the liquor store. Get him off drugs. Get him out of the gangs. God, save my brother. God, save my brother.
Hey, I'm preaching really good right about now. You may have not picked up on it because you're getting sleepy. But if you'll wake up, you'll feel what I'm feeling. Hey, I'm telling you right now, she prayed and she prayed and she prayed. Her brother said that one night he was out with all the fellas in his car. He said they were just cruising. He said the car was hotboxed. Everybody was smoking marijuana. He said they had already been doing cocaine and drinking alcohol. They decided that they would crack down the window just a little bit to let all the smoke out. He said that when he cracked down the window, he said all of a sudden there appeared a man right there who was doing outreach. And he said that the man threw a flyer through the window. He said that flyer landed on his lap. He said it only said a few words, but in big, bold black letters, it said, "Jesus Christ is coming soon. Are you ready?" He said he picked up that flyer. Brother, I'm not kidding. He picked up that flyer, and all of a sudden God decided that day he would open up the windows of heaven and pour out all his sister's prayers. He said he picked up that flyer, and when he read it, he said his hand began to shake just like this. He said, "Brother Prado," he said, "all my pores opened up." He said, "I felt the marijuana, the liquor, and the cocaine come out of my pores." He said, "I sobered up. Today, that man is my pastor." Hey, I'm telling you. Have you ever stopped to think that the person you're praying for is a pastor, is a missionary, is an evangelist, is an on-fire saint of God? And that's why the devil has them so locked up. Saint of God, you need a step. You need to get in the fight and let the devil know, "I ain't sitting down till God's done. Come on, come on, I feel it. I feel the windows of heaven opening up. Come on, God, strengthen these weary knees and help me to pray again. Hey, God, strengthen. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, the casting down of imaginations. Come on. Oh, this is a good opportunity for you to wave your arms in the air and call out your family's last name and say, "God, take away every devil on the Smiths, on the Johnsons, on the..." Come on, God can do what you can do. God can do what you can do. It's time you stop talking to the person till you're blue in the face, and you start talking to Jesus till you're blue in the face. Come on, get your fight back. Get your fight back. Get your fight back. Get it back tonight. Come on, get your yell back. Get your tears back. Get your fasting back. Get your prayer room back. Get your... Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost moving in this house. God save Richard. God save Johnny. God save Carol. God save Timmy. God save them. God save them. God touch Cindy. God touch Sabrina. God. I want you to listen to me good. The Holy Ghost, I'm not quenching the Spirit. You know, the only thing that made the prodigal come back home is when the party ran out, the money ran out, the friends ran out. You know what you need to pray? You need to pray it all run out. Yeah, I'm preaching to some people here. I'm preaching to some young people. Your siblings are backslid. I'm preaching to some parents right now. Your children are backslid. I'm preaching to some saints. You're working with people that are backslid. You need to pray, God, send a famine. God, send a famine. Send a famine on the party. Send a famine on the money. Send a famine on the friends. Let it all run out. Let their whole world run dry. Because when it all runs dry, people run back to God. And I'm sorry. I'm ready to pray that much. I'm ready to go that far. I'm ready to say, God, whatever it takes, bring them out. God, whatever it... I'd rather have them lose their friends than lose their soul. I'd rather have them lose their money than lose their soul. I'd rather have them lose their job than lose their soul. I'd rather...
I told Joy today, I said, Joy, you're just going to have to fight. Is this okay? I told Joy, I said, Joy, there's just some things in life, they never go away. But you got to let them know you ain't going away either. Oh, yeah. I'm preaching to some people here. You need to get it in your gut. You are not giving up. You are not sitting down. If you fall, get up. If you fall again, get up. If you fall again, get up. And get up and get up and get up and keep getting. And let your flesh know, I'm not giving up. And let your sins know, I'm not giving up. And let your carnality know, I'm not giving up. I will pray until I change. And... I am not kidding when I say this. Some of you need to find a place of prayer. I'm not talking about here in this sanctuary. I'm talking about in your house. And you need to break that place in. And go to that place day after day, hour after hour, until you hear the voice of God. The church where me and my wife, my base out of my wife's pastor, he tells the story. He married a woman, his wife. And their first child came out diseased. He had a very rare disease that left him crippled. They had like a 1 in 300,000 chance that this happens between couples. It was due to their genetic makeup. And not only did their first child come out with the disease, their second child came out with the disease as well. Both his kids have been in wheelchairs their whole life. They are weak and they are frail. But he told the story about his son. And his son, his lungs had collapsed. He was on a respirator. He was dying. He said, I had a little area in my bedroom. It was between the wall and the bed. He said I'd work all day. He worked a potato chip route. He'd go push and bust potato chips all over the city. And then he said, I'd go straight home. I wouldn't even talk to my wife. I wouldn't talk to anybody. I'd find that little chunk of space between the wall and the bed. He said, and I'd just go to war. I'd just pray, God, save my baby. God, don't let my child die. God, you need to do something. He said, one day I came home, and as I was walking to my prayer room, he said, I noticed the house was really quiet. He said, I looked down on the dinner table. He said, and there was a note that said, John is not breathing. I took him to the hospital. He said, I got my stuff together. He said, I ran to the hospital. And when I got there, he said, lo and behold, there was my son breathing with the doctor on the side. And the doctor had some x-rays. And the doctor told me, he said, sir, I don't know what happened, but your son has two brand new lungs. Hey, I'm telling you, our God, you got to stand. You got to stand. You got to take your... You might think I'm killing faith. I'm actually building faith right here. You know, his son does not live for God. His son backslid out of church. He has a very weak and frail body, Stephen. He probably weighs 80 pounds. I am telling you, the devil has tried to kill that boy, if for no other reason than to torment his dad and ruin his dad's ministry. That boy, one day, he lives in Sacramento. He works for the Capitol. One day, he can't drive a car, so he goes around on this electric wheelchair. Just a few months ago, he was driving down the streets of Sacramento, and a car hit him. I mean, threw him flying out of his wheelchair. This is a man who weighs 80 pounds, is totally crippled from the neck down, can hardly move. But you know what? Those prayers that daddy locked up years ago, the doctors, they don't understand. They said it's a miracle that this... You know, let me tell you, the word miracle has become so contaminated. Let me tell you something. The word miracle, M-I-R, that prefix in there is the same place where we get the word mirror. It's the same place where in Spanish we get the word mira, which means look. And the problem with miracles is that if we don't, we think that it's only something you could see. But can I tell you, there are miracles we do not see. Oh, you just wait till you get to heaven. God will show you just how many car crashes you should have been in. You just wait till you get to heaven, and he'll show you how many times you should have. I'm telling you, there's miracles we don't see, and we got to stand in the faith. I'm preaching to somebody. Well, Johnny ain't getting better. Just because you don't see it, it doesn't mean God's not sneaking up in his room at night and working on him. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean you should stop praying. Just because... We got to grab a hold of the promises of God. Do you know that the edges of the high priest's garment, in Hebrew they're called kafal, which literally means eagle's wings. It's the same word used for an eagle's wings. The hem of the high priest's garment is called the kafal. Can I preach to you that woman with the issue of blood, when she got sick in her body, she remembered the verse that said, he shall have healing in his wings. Amen. And when she saw Jesus, she said, if I could just get a hold of that wing, if I can just touch his wing, I'll be healed. I'm telling you, you got to get a hold of the high priest. You got to. You've got to pray. I have a friend, and I'm finishing here. I have a friend. He holds a national position in a oneness movement. He is a renowned preacher, but he was backslid for several years. He got into college and he got worse. Yeah, I said it. He got into, and I'm not against college. But trust me, I'd rather have you saved than have a BA or an AA or a master's or a PhD. Well, it got quiet, but that's all right. You go ahead and go to hell with the PhD. I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. And if you messing up at college, you need to hit the altar tonight and pray through till you go back to college in your right mind, pray through, and full of the Holy Ghost. Come on, you need to back me up on that. Because you know what happens? We lose our kids in college because nobody pressures them to pray through and stay in touch with God. And then all of a sudden, we all crying. I'm telling you, if you're here tonight and you messing up in college, you need to pray through. You need to get your mind straightened out. You need to get your spirit straightened out before you go back to school. This is an opportunity. Oh, Jesus. You know what, Jermaine, my friend? He couldn't talk as a kid. His dad was a preacher. I don't care what you think about this. His dad was a preacher. He had a stuttering problem. He said, every day I came home, my dad would make fun of me. He'd call me. They were from a Spanish church. Lo llamaba tartamudo, which means you can't. He'd call him a stutter. Dad would laugh at him, laugh at him. You'll never be nothing. Look at you. He worked in the fields picking fruit. He said, you know what? I made it up in my mind. I was going to do something. And you know what? There is no motivator like bitterness. Some folks, they accomplish a lot, not because they're smart, not because they're driven, it's because they're bitter. Well, go ahead and get quiet. I know folks that get up and go to work and get up and go to school and get up and do all kinds of things in society, and you know what? They don't tell anybody, but in the back of their mind, you know what motivates them? This one sentence, I'll show them. I'm preaching mighty good right now. He said he got up every day. He said he put himself through school. He put himself through speech classes. He ended up with his master's. He said, when I was in college, he told me personally, and I could say this now, y'all don't know him. He told me personally, he said, Brother Prado, he said, I slept with so many women that I lost count. He said, I can't tell you how many times I was inebriated beyond anything imaginable. He said, I totally gave myself away. He said, without reserve. This is what he told me. He said, Brother Prado, he said, one day, he said, listen, when you sleep around and you have sex with all kinds of people, you will lose your mind. You are not meant to be promiscuous like that. And when you get promiscuous like that, let me tell you something. When you join up with somebody and you have sex with them, you take on their spirit. Yes, you do. And if they're crazy, you will go crazy too. And if they got issues, you will have issues too. I am preaching to you really good right now. And there are all kinds of people that think no nothing of hooking up and sleeping around, and then all of a sudden, 3 years into their relationship, they're suicidal and can't figure it out. It's because you're messing around with that crazy boy. Your spirit becomes one. Yes, I will preach like this. It's my last night, and they talk worse at school. There's worse things on television, and there's worse things on, and we are promoting sexuality, and we don't promote the other side of it. We don't talk about where syphilis lands you. We don't talk about where hepatitis B and C lands you. We don't talk about where STDs land you. We don't talk about where children out of wedlock land you. We don't talk about what happens to your brain after you've slept with five people. We don't talk about that, but I'm going to talk about that because it kills people. It destroys people. It ruins people. It will ruin you. You could be a good girl, but you start messing around, you'll go down. You could be a good boy, good family. You start sleeping around, you'll go down.
And guess what? It's not just the Bible that's on my side. It's statistics that are on my side. Young girls that sleep around, the percentage rate of them who commit suicide skyrockets. Depression skyrockets. I'm telling you, young men who begin to sleep around, depression skyrockets. The chances of you committing suicide go through the roof.
My friend said, I slept with so many women, I lost count. He said, Brother Prado, he said, one night, he said, I kid you not. He said, I was inside my room with a gun to my head. He said, I was shaken. He said, I was about to pull the trigger, but thank God for somebody who knows how to stand. The man who would later on become his brother-in-law, his name's Tony. I know Tony, he's my friend. Tony got up one night, he didn't know why, but he felt to pray. And Tony didn't feel to go back to sleep until he was done praying. And as he got to praying, he felt violence come on him. He started shouting and speaking in tongues. He started pacing back and forth in the living room. He said, Brother Prado, I could not stop praying. He said, not all of a sudden, Victor, my friend, he said, Victor came to my mind. He said, I saw him clear as day. He said, I saw him in his little dorm room with a rifle to his head. He said, I picked up the phone. He said, it was already 2-3 in the morning. He said, I let it ring 5 times, 10 times, 20 times. Finally, they picked it up, and I could hear a little voice, and it said, hello. And he said, Victor, is that you? He said, it's me. He said, Victor, put the gun down. Come on, saint of God. I'm telling you the gospel truth. You need a stand. Come on, somebody. Come on. I don't know why God told me to preach this, but I just believe that we have some breakthroughs that the devil's been fighting us on, and we need to take it.
Come on. Come on. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Come on. Come on, let your faith grab a hold of this. Let your faith grab a hold of this. Let the Spirit of God in your spirit right now grab a hold of this. Let's all stand. Every hand raised up right now. Come on. Let the Spirit of God take over. Let the Spirit of prayer grab you right now. Come on, come on, come on, come on. There's people here, you're under a heavy load. You need to come up to the front and begin to pray. God's going to help you carry that load. And some of you, God's going to relieve you of that load. He's going to save you tonight. He's going to take that heavy load off you and put a new yoke on you. His yoke is light. His burden is easy. Come on, this is a great service to begin to pray for that relative. I promise you tonight God will rekindle the fire in your heart, give you back the strength to pray again. This is a great service for some of you men to establish your prayer life. This is a great service for some of you young ladies to establish your prayer life. Hey, come on, God answers prayer. And the prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much.
Drawing close to you. Give myself away. can use me. Oh, you can, Lord, I can.
Come on, we got people getting the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, God's moving in this house right now.
I give myself away. I give it all to you.
Give myself away.
So you can use me. Oh, use me, Lord. I give myself
away.
I'm drawing close to you, oh God.
I give myself
away.